So, like I said, we have some special guests with us that some of them have all been here throughout the year, taking turns, coming up, blessing us, hanging out. Most of them you know. But what we want to do is, as you know, one of the things I've learned that when Shane's in the house with Shane's kids, you give them some room, some space, and some time to bless you. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to hand this thing off to them, and they're going to go for it. They're going to bring it, and they're going to give back to us. And so get in receiving mode, get in readiness mode, and Shane, come on up.
Awesome. We love coming here so much. My son loves coming here, even though he's got his headphones on right now and is absorbed in some screen. We love coming up here and just getting to spend time with you guys. How many of you guys love coming and getting a message from church? Like at church, you know? Yep, awesome. I've got a treat for you today then. How do you feel about five or six? Oh, suddenly people are like, I don't know right now. I've got a couple of things I've got planned for this evening. Now I've invited a couple of the students to just come and share basically sermonettes, if we want to try and give it a title. I don't even know if that'll work, but I just made it work. So they're going to come up and just share a little bit about what God has done this year, and hopefully they're going to be able to then turn around and invite you into knowing God that way as well. Then we'll just have a bit of fun towards the end and see what Holy Spirit wants to do. Does that sound good? Awesome. So, Peter, can I get you to come on up? This is Peter. Why don't you welcome up Peter?
Hey guys, my name is Peter. I'm from the Netherlands. thank you. What I learned this year and last year is I got the gift of peace. And at first I didn't know what it was. I thought, oh yeah, it's nice when you're busy or when you're just having a hard time and you need rest, and like peace is a good thing to get as a gift from God, you know. But I started to realize it was way bigger than just something that is just for a few weeks and then you're rested and you can go on and be focused and do something again. So I want to speak on that. What I learned is that peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. And that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus was in the storm at the lake, he said to the storm, "Be still." And he calmed the storm with his peace. Just the weather was influenced by the peace that Jesus carried. And I want to tell you that peace is such a powerful weapon, actually. I came to realize that the enemy is always trying to steal my peace. Because when he can steal my peace, I'm in worrying, anxiety, doing things out of fear, and I'm not focused on God. But when I'm completely peaceful, I'm just living in God's presence. Yeah. I want to read to you a scripture of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." It's so beautiful that we don't have to understand peace. You only have to experience it. You don't have to like, see, like, how does this thing work, or I have to figure it out. Just experience it and just receive it. So when I realized about the peace thing, I often was like, how does this work? I've actually seen people getting healed by just releasing peace over them. Because peace is the person of Jesus. And when you release Jesus over people, they will get healed because they need to be aligned with heaven. What I also realize is that when I start to worry or have anxiety in my life or about the future, like my wife Esther and I are going to move to the Netherlands and we don't know what's ahead there, but when I'm fearing and being anxious about that, I know that I left peace, I left God somewhere, and I need to find out where I did. But when I focus on the Father, I can be filled with that peace again, even if it doesn't sense in my situations. Yeah. So I want to read to you out of Psalms 23. And then we'll do a little activation. Yes. In verse 4 it says, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for you are near. Yeah. So right now I want to ask you, if you feel anxiety or you have fear about your financial situation, you don't know how you're going to pay rent this month, or you have medical bills that you don't know how you or God is going to take care of that, or you have fear about your health situation and you actually need a breakthrough, but it's hard to stay connected with God and just trust that He is gonna come through in that. Or in a family situation that needs restoration, I just want you to close your eyes and just focus on Jesus right now, the Prince of Peace. Yes. Jesus, we invite you in this place. Prince of Peace, we welcome you. Peace fill our hearts and our minds. Yes. We say we don't need to understand it. We only want to experience it and live out of peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Amen.
Have any of you ever partnered with the spirit of stupid? You know when you're in those moments and you start fighting to justify why you don't want to get into peace? None of you have ever done that, have you? Like, you know, I should be angry. I should be frustrated. I should be... And like, oh yeah, peace is an option. It's right here. It's available to me. And I justify all these reasons why I... Oh, I'm glad you guys don't do that. Pray for me. Please pray for me. It happens now and then. Hey, why don't you welcome up Peter's wife, Esther.
Good morning, everyone. I'm also from the Netherlands. Surprise. So, we just spoke about peace, and I'm going to talk about grace. Yes. What I've learned this year is understand God's grace more. And it has humbled me. I used to really want to work hard for my righteousness, kind of. I wanted to prove myself, but now I understand God's grace is a gift. It's a free gift, and I don't have to work for it. So, I want to read with you Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 9. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It just brought me so much freedom to understand that grace. And last week, actually, I got a... It's kind of a silly story, but I got a new piece of clothing. Someone gave me a blouse, and it was kind of random. I was somewhere, and she said, like, oh, I tried it on, but actually, I don't really like it that much on me, but I think it looks good on you. So I got a blouse. It was a really good quality. And the next day, I wore it to school, and I got so many compliments. But I was like, I want to say, like, oh, I just got it as a gift. Like, don't compliment me. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't pay money for it. I didn't go to, like, a store with thousands of clothes and that I picked the right one. Or, like, I didn't do anything for it. So, but then I was like, actually... everything, like, it's all grace. Even when someone compliments about my hair or anything, we all got it from God. Like, it's all a gift from God. So I was like, oh, I think I got another revelation of God's grace, actually, just in a simple thing. But last year I also was thinking about, how do I love people better? Like, I want to grow in loving people. God wants us to love Him, to love ourselves, and to love others. And I was like, how do I do that? Why am I not able to grow in that? But now that I have more understanding of God's grace, I feel like it's much easier to love other people, because you understand that you got everything by grace, and other people got everything by grace as well. Like, it's not that I worked so hard for it. Other people don't have to do it either. More freedom. And I even understand, like, sometimes people do something wrong to us, and we're like, that's not fair, that person needs to say sorry, and sometimes we don't get the sorry, sometimes we don't get treated well, but even then, God sometimes asks us to extend grace to people, and to live for eternity, and there you will get what you, are supposed to get. So that's also what I want to tell you guys. I really want you to ask yourself, like, do I walk in the grace? Do I understand God's grace for my life? Do I understand that it's a free gift? That I don't have to work for it? That when I do something wrong, I don't lose it? And that you can also extend grace to others, because the world is not perfect. And we need it. Yeah. So I want to pray for you guys. So if you close your eyes. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for this revelation, that we get this more deeper revelation. I ask also for these people in Weaverville here, in Mountain Chapel, I ask that they will get a deeper revelation of your grace, God, and that it's a free gift, that they don't have to work for it, don't have to prove their righteousness, because we can't. Yeah, Lord, I just ask that you will give them a deeper revelation, that they will also be able to extend grace to other people. Yeah, we pray for the freedom, Lord. We pray freedom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of my baseball coaches taught me if I threw incorrectly three times, to immediately stop. So it might have been 5 minutes into practice, but if I did the wrong thing three times, I had to immediately stop. If I was swinging my bat, if I was throwing, whatever it was, stop. That's it. Training's done. And like, what? He's like, yeah, go run or go do something else. And it wasn't punishment. The idea was muscle memory. And so if you learn to do something the right way, that's fantastic. But if you learn to do it the wrong way and you do it more than three times, you start to develop muscle memory. It's like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be done. I was thinking about it. I was going, oh, grace. We get taught grace, you know, and we hear about grace once a week. And then 6 days a week, we're being taught something completely different in our lives. All these other things go against the concept of grace in our lives. All of them. Work. Yep, you got your money in your pocket because you worked, right? Or you got this because you did that. Or all these different things. I was just thinking, like, man, we need to be intentional about day by day putting grace in front of our minds so that it becomes like a muscle memory where it's like, oh, that's right. This thing isn't old. I actually have to put it in front of myself every day. Lest I go, oh, yeah, and I get sloppy. And then I've got a bad habit with my understanding of grace. Does that make sense? So, as my coach would say, just three times. Except we're not talking about it in the negative, we're talking about it in the positive. So how do we intentionally put grace in front of us day by day? Yes, I know I'm going to work today. I know this is different to my understanding of grace. So I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to look for how God is releasing grace in my life. I'm going to look for how God is moving, how God is working in the lives of those around me, that I might either be touched by His grace or be a conduit for His grace. But I'm going to be intentional about having eyes to see so that grace might be promoted. Amen? So good. I love it. Thanks so much, Esther. That's great. Hey, why don't you welcome up another fantastic young lady. Her name's Riley.
Okay, I'm just so excited right now. I was super nervous. And I was like, what should I do when I'm afraid? I'm like, I could just close my eyes because I don't just see Jesus. So it worked. Like, thank you, God. So I wanted to talk about relationship, actually. I am huge on relationships. I just, like, with my friends, I love having good connection. I love being around people. I'm extroverts. And all the different stuff. And so for me, relationship is a huge thing, especially when it comes time to God. And so kind of through this year, even though we're in school, sometimes you get so into, like, what you're being taught or the different classes, you kind of forget a little bit about, like, stewarding your relationship with God. And so sometime this year, I was a little frustrated with my relationship with God. I was like, what's going on? I feel like there's this disconnect. And I'm like, I wonder what I should do. And I was like, well, the best thing you can do is ask questions. And God started speaking to me. And He was like, what is a relationship without give and take? And I wrote this down when I was sitting there. And I feel like God was saying, God will always offer a relationship before He offers anything else. Because He doesn't want a servant. He wants a son. Or He doesn't want a slave. He wants a son. And I feel like that's what He's really looking for. And so I was thinking about it, and I was like, what would I say, or how different would I talk to God if I knew He was standing right in front of me? Like, if I was like, if I talked to Him every single day, like He's standing right here, I would talk to Him so different. Like, sometimes, like, I feel like we get this image of Him, like, that He's like this far-off thing. It's like, look into the distance. He's coming your way. And He's like, right here. You know what I mean? And so sometimes He's just like, hey, talk to me. And He's like, I feel like that's the biggest reason He came as Jesus. Because it was like, He was like, yeah, I'm up here, but I want to be down there with you. So how can I make that work? You know? Like he was multitasking when he sent him to die in the sun or die in the cross. He was like, hey, we can like be right next to each other too. And so it's been an incredible journey of just being like, okay, not God, but God. And not like God at a distance, like I'm reaching, but God's like right here. And I remember I went to Alabama for a mission trip, and we did ministry time, and a girl was having a problem sleeping at night. And I was like, what can I do? Or what can we do to make her feel more comfortable at night and stuff? And God was like, he was like, show her that I have a wing over her bed. And I was like, what? Like, that's so cool. And so I was like, I had her imagine it. That's all I had her do. And I gave it authority. And I was like, okay, imagine the wing over your bed and that it has authority over you and that nothing can touch you while you're sleeping. And 2 days later, she comes up to me and she's like, I have had the best sleep I have ever had. And I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, my alarm doesn't even wake me up in the morning. I was like, oh, that's good, I guess. And she had been having trouble sleeping for 2 to 4 years. And so it was amazing. I was like, okay, God, you really want to go that deep. Something else I wrote down when I was just sitting there. God likes the fact that he will always remain a wonder in the eyes of men, and yet he loves us like we're the mystery. Whoa. I wrote that. Thank you. Man, you guys make me feel good. God likes the fact that he will always remain a wonder in the eyes of men, and yet he loves us like we're the mystery. You know, it blows my mind because he created us. You'd think we'd be like, oh God, you're wonderful. And yet he knows the thought, the emotions, all that different stuff. And he's like, you're my wonder. And so I just want to challenge you today to dream what it would look like to have a relationship where he's by your side, where he's not at a distance, where you can treat him like a friend. And that was that whole thing of asking questions for me. It was like asking questions. There isn't a person, think about it, there isn't a perfect person in your life that you wouldn't ask a question. Like, if you think about it, in a relationship, if you like something's going wrong, you're going to talk to them, and you're like, hey, what's going on? Are we good? And all the different stuff, and you can resolve it. So, I just want to bless you guys with that. And I feel like you guys received so well, and so I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 13:4 over you really quick, because it is my favorite, because I'm all about romance. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, and is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always preserves. So God, my prayer for them today is that they know that they know you dream about them. They're the star in your eye, God. Yeah. So I just thank you for everyone today. Yeah. Amen.
So good. Go after intimacy. Go after your relationship with God. But also be gracious to yourself and recognize that you come from a different place. And so your relationship doesn't need to look like Riley's relationship. My grandfather went through a concentration camp. He was spared by moments. An American plane flew over right when he had been lined up to be executed. And his capacity to have relationship with males was non-existent. So my dad's connection with his dad was terrible. So my grandfather could do relationship with women, but really didn't know how to have any connection with men. So my wife and I were married, and he'd ring up and I'd be like, "Hey, Pa, how are you?" And he'd be like, "Hi, Shane, how's Louise?" And I'd be like, "Ouch, ouch. I know you just don't know how to do it different. I know you don't know how to do relationships." So I didn't let offense get in. I didn't let the pain get in. I felt the pain, but I didn't let that become the lens through which I would see. My dad modeled an incredible option for me. He intentionally tried to show me how to go after relationships. So my parents were already separated. They got divorced when I was about 13. And a few years later, my dad went through some fun stuff. And then a few years later, he started going, okay, this is my take on it, my words. He started going, who do I want to be? And what relationship do I want with my children? And so he started working and living accordingly. That challenged me so much. Probably the greatest challenge that I think I've experienced from my parents was my dad choosing, as a divorced guy, probably getting closer to 40-ish, to be who he wanted and to go after the relationships he wanted. So he would sit down and go, oh, I know why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I learned that men aren't safe and you don't have relationships, and I learned that through my dad. Oh. So then he actively tried to learn a new truth, a new reality. He actually tried to go, you know what, I think that's a lie, and I think it was done because of his experience and because of his pain, and I'm going to try for something new. And so he did. And so I learned something new from watching him and stepped into a new level of relationship with him. It made me turn around and go, what do I want my life to look like in marriage? And so I have a picture of what I want to be at 80. What I want my marriage to look like when I'm 80. I have a picture of that. And then I work backwards. I reverse engineer and I say, well, if I want that picture to be a reality, what do I do now to get there? And then I go, what do I want my relationship with my children to be when I'm 80? And hopefully grandchildren. And I go, I want it to be like this. So I reverse engineer and go, what do I need to do now to make that a reality? It's not easy. And sometimes it's scary. Often it's looking in and going, oh, yes, God, thanks for showing me that. I'll be honest about it. Let's go to work. But in that, there's a richness. And, excuse me, when Riley was talking, I was like, oh, man, there's an invitation for us to be intentional about our relationships this way and this way. But it requires a what do we want it to be and a real reality check of where are we and how do we take a step towards it. And then when we're there, thanks, God, how do we take another step? And when we're there, thanks, God. And sometimes people go, but Shane, what if you don't ever get to your end result? Well, if I take 7 steps out of the 10, I'm 7 steps better off. I don't like lineal examples, but it makes the point. In fact, even if I only make 3 out of the 10 steps, I'm still 3 steps better off. So it's 3 steps less that hopefully my children have to take. Never too late to set an example. Never too late to go after it. I would encourage you, go, hey, I want that relationship with God, and I know that I'm also going to live it out with the people around me. So let yours be different, but go after it. Amen? Awesome. Hey, one more student's going to come up and share a little bit about what they've learned from this year. Will you welcome up Lauren for me?
Hey, everyone. I'm Lauren. I'm going to start off by reading Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you. And he's famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. And so that's kind of been my journey throughout the year. If I would have read this, honestly, the beginning of the year, I probably wouldn't have truly believed it. That's just kind of where I was. I was in a place that I knew God's voice, but I didn't actually trust his voice, if that makes sense. I would hear him on things and would say, God, there's no way that could happen, or there's no way that you would come through. And so that's kind of where I was. I was in this situation, moving across the country, not knowing how I was going to pay for my food, not knowing how I was going to pay for rent, not knowing any of these things, not able to really find a job. I would go out and put out applications, but I wasn't able to, nothing was working out. Nothing was working out for me. And I was, honestly full of so much worry and not really trusting God, even though, God kept, repeating to me, I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. And still, I just never believed it. And I was trying to do all these things for myself. And so this was a journey for about 4 or 5 months. And then in January, it finally hit me. I got to the place where it was like, okay, God, if you are who you say you are, and you say that you're good, then I'm going to just trust your voice. It took that long to get there, but it was just such a beautiful process, and it was just perfect timing that everything just began to work out. And I was like, okay, God, I trust you. And so I was like, so what do you say about this situation? And through these months, God always provided. Crazy how he works and how he says he's got you, and he actually has you. I got to that place finally. I was like, you know what, God? If I have nothing and just have you and your voice, I'll be okay. I'll be okay with connection with you, because that's all he wants. He's the good shepherd, and we're his sheep, and he just wants us to be a sheep. He just wants us to follow him wherever he goes and follow wherever he leads us. He leads us into these pastures with him, and he lets us wander, but he's always in front of us leading us where we need to go. And so, with that being said, this journey of just finding out that God's good, I feel like that's where I began to hear his voice even more clearly, believing that he is good and believing that he is who he says he is and I am who he says I am. And I've just found that the more undone I become with his goodness, the louder his voice gets. And so I found, just as I begin to seek him and search after him, I can actually believe that his promises are true and that they're going to come forth. And so I'm going to actually read that verse again, believing it and, kind of sharing my process and now reading it again after. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you and so kind that it will astound you. And he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. And so what I want to do today is just release you of any worry that you have, any anxiety that you may be carrying, anywhere you don't believe God's going to come through, even if he said he's going to come through or he's spoken through other people that he's going to come through. I just want to release your ability to just hear his voice and your ability to trust his voice and know that he's good and just seek after his goodness. Because like I said, the more undone you become in his goodness, the louder his voice gets. Yeah, so.
One of the reasons I wanted a whole lot of different students to come up and share different things was because they've all been at the same school. They've all been at the same school, and yet the things that God has been saying, hey, this is the main theme or this is the main whatever that I'm showing you this year, they're all different. And if I got the rest of the team up, most likely you would hear different variations of some of those, but completely different topics for others. Same school, same Bill, same Chris, same Dan, same revival group teacher, pastor, all the same people in front of them, so to speak. But God does something different. There is so much permission for us to be here on a... Oh my gosh, here I go again. Week by week, to be standing, to be in this room, to have somebody standing at the front and to go, oh, I got this from Sunday. I'm not talking relativity in terms of, oh, well, my God says this and your God says that. I'm not talking that. We have one God. But God knows that Shane needs this thing, that Cameron needs this thing, that David needs this thing. And so he'll go, oh, hear that? Did you hear that little thing? That bit was for you. And so we walk away going, oh man, God spoke to me. Somebody else goes, God spoke to me. And you've both heard the same thing and you've got different messages. I love that. We have so much permission from God to engage in a personal relationship with Him. We have so much permission to be able to be here, be real, hear the same things, and yet go, sorry, what was that? Oh. So like, it'll be a corporate truth and a personal truth. I love reading the Gospel of John, because he was a very clever writer. He wrote on several different planes. And if you read the book, oh gosh, I won't do it. I'll start preaching. Throughout most of the Gospel of John, there's three different levels that he's writing on. It's intriguing, because if I'm lazy, I'll fall into just reading one. And I'll forget that there's others. And then I step back and I go, oh, you're so witty, so clever, and you're writing to this thing. Oh, you were writing to that thing. It's amazing. And God does that on a sermon, on a Sunday, or a song on a Sunday, or a Monday, or a Tuesday, whatever. He's like, oh yeah, you know that message that you listened to 5 years ago? How it spoke to this thing? Go and listen to it again. It's going to speak to that thing. And you're like, what? How does it do that? It doesn't. He does. So I really wanted a whole lot of different people to share different things, because I wanted us to go, oh, yeah, same school, same staff. God treats us personally. Treats us personally. Amen? Where are we at? Can I get the rest of the team that didn't share already? Just come up. Welcome to your notice. This is it. Okay, they're going to prophesy personal prophetic words. Oh, wow, was the cry. Carrie, why don't you come and start? Okay. I did it again. Sorry, Carrie. I'll let you choose.
So are we doing corporate or... Holy Spirit to talk to me. I feel like I'm supposed to prophesy over you because it's your birthday. Yeah. Okay. I'm just waiting for Holy Spirit. The word that I keep hearing is intimacy, and I think he's going to bring you to deeper levels of intimacy this year. Yeah, and I think it's going to go beyond music. I think he's going to bring you into deeper levels with your music, but I also feel like he's developing something different in you. I feel like there's more than just music for you, so I'm not quite sure what that is, but... Yeah. Let me see. Just waiting to hear anything else. Yeah, I just think that this is going to be a really good year for you, and it's going to be different than what you expected, and I know you're expecting a baby too. But I, or aren't you, or no, aren't you having, sorry, I was like, okay, but if this isn't nerve-wracking enough, I feel like joy is coming to you, like more joy and stuff like that. You're going to see things a little bit differently, and just even little things that you have looked at before, you're going to see new joy. There's almost like a refreshing and intimacy where you see things differently than what you've seen in the past. So it's going to be a really good year for you. Yeah. Happy birthday.
I feel like I'm supposed to prophesy over your baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know the sex yet? Girl. Okay. It's okay, you're giving me time. Have you picked a name? Okay. Okay. Is she your first? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I heard, this is funny, but I heard leader of the wolf pack. And I feel like, I thought she was going to be your first, but I feel like she may be the youngest and the smallest and the baby of the family, but she's going to lead your family. And I feel like she's even going to lead her siblings. I feel like partially it's going to be into relationship with the Lord, just going deeper into intimacy with the Lord. But I feel like she may lead them in something else as well later on. And I feel like this sense of a strong family bond over your whole family. And I just feel like your family unit is so strong, and I feel like y'all are the wolf pack. So, yeah, I feel like there's more. So give me a second. Yeah, I feel like she's going to be really tender. And I just heard Mother Teresa. I feel like she may be tender in her spirit, but she's going to really impact a lot of people and just be fierce also in the spirit, like a tender personality and a tender person, I don't know, but fierce and warrior-like just when she leaves. Yeah, so I bless you with that. Mm-hmm. And your sweet baby girl. Mm-hmm.
What's your name in the front? Aaron? I saw you, and I just feel like you have this this ability. You're just a really classy guy. Like, you know how to be a man and be a gentleman. And you're bringing in things from the past that are so needed and relevant to the to now. And that has to do with, like, just being a gentleman, being true, and being creative. But you're actually going to be able to do that with revival as well. And you're going to be able to take different parts of everything that was great about this revival and this revival from different places and bring them here to now. And that's what you do, and that's what you bring. And so I just want to bless you and say that you are a really powerful person, and what you carry and what you do is known and seen in heaven. And people are going to start partnering with what you have and the authority that you have. You're such a gentle spirit, and don't negate yourself, because you don't blow up a room. Actually, gentleness is the breakthrough that that heaven brings. Like, heaven comes through gentleness. Yeah.
For the guy in the back with the Batman t-shirt, I saw a picture of
like a guy who cut down the trees, and he uses like a big axe, and he cut the big tree right where it was, and then he used the axe also to make out of the tree lumber. And it's like a really long process, but I think it means there is beauty to keep persistence, pressing into one thing, and doing it. He did everything with one tool, so there is like, yeah, this beauty in pressing into things, and also enjoy the process to see like this wood transformed into lumber wood. And then you can use also what you have built, like in the process, to build something else. So this is like the foundation for something else. Like, and there's like, yeah. Do you work with your hands or something? Yeah. So yeah, that exactly. I don't know if it means something to you, but probably.
Gentleman in the back row, black hat and plaid shirt. So what I saw over you, sir, God shows me things in pictures sometimes, so it may or may not make sense to you, but I'll tell you what I got from it. I saw you driving a tractor. You had a like a soda pop or whatever you call it here, soda pop and a hamburger, but you were steering it with your feet. And I think what it meant was is that the wisdom and the knowledge that you carry, you're so good at what you do that you make whatever you do fun, but you also have something that needs to be given to the next generation. And I feel like because you've been endowed with like such this wealth of knowledge, you need to find a way to get it out there. I don't know whether they have the passion for writing or making videos or blogs or something like that, but I feel like you have something that people need. And I would encourage you to share it with the world. Thank you.
And the red hair back there, Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. As soon as I looked at you, I just heard the Lord say, "Do not be weary in well doing." And I just feel like you've been really pushing and pressing for a breakthrough in certain areas. And the Lord is coming in like a tidal wave, and He's actually bringing the breakthrough for you. I just really feel like, I don't know, I just feel like there's a promotion. There's something about you being promoted. Wow, it's so powerful. Like, the Lord just says that He sees you, and He sees what you do behind the scenes. And He just wants you to know that He's so proud of you. He's so pleased with you. And I just feel like you're coming into a season where everybody else is going to get to see what you've been pressing forward for. And it's just going to be such an amazing breakthrough that other people, it's going to give them hope for their own life. You have a ministry of hope on your life of the different things that you've gone through. And I just see you just really releasing hope, and you're just that bright, shining light. So I bless you with such breakthrough that the promoter, the God who is the promotion, seek first the kingdom. He has all things, that all things will be added unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The lady with the purple outfit, would you mind standing up for me? Oh, I'll give you a word too. I'm just going to, what's your name? Terry Sue. Great. Is that your husband next to you? Yes, okay, just before I make an unhealthy connection for you. What I saw was the Lord really highlighting you and your family. And I had the privilege of speaking to your husband before, and he spoke about being this place, being like a headwaters for love. And I just feel like you're part of that, that you really carry love in your family so well. And I feel like the legacy that's being released in your family is so precious to the Lord. And I was looking at your outfit with the purple and your hat. Did you make your hat? I said, oh, so beautiful. But I felt like the purple color is just like you, like representing royalty. And the way that you just live is so royal and gentle and beautiful. And I just feel like the Lord just wants you to be acknowledged today for who you are and what you carry. I also see that you have incredible gift of seeing beautiful things. And that I feel like you're almost like drawn to beautiful things when you go to places. But I feel like there's also a creativity in your hands to create beautiful things. And so I just bless you to make beautiful things that are going to impact the world. I feel like there's almost going to be like designs that the Lord's going to give you to create that the world needs to see, and is actually going to bring like breakthrough even in like innovation and technology, that like the creative expression is going to like inspire somebody with a solution or an idea for creativity and for breakthrough in technology. So bless you. Yeah.
All right. I had one for you, Cameron. I got a few pictures. I got a picture of a trunk with the roots and fruit and then a basket. And the tree trunk, the roots, and the fruit were all labeled wisdom, and the roots were going deeper. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you're praying for wisdom, but I also want you to pray for other fruit. And the reason that he's saying... Okay, I'll go to the basket first. There's fruit in the basket, and he's saying the fruit on the trees for a different season, the fruit in the basket's from this for the season for now. So the fruit that's in the tree's not ready to pick because I still have more that I want to grow. And if you picked it now, it would be out of season. And so, and he's saying, I don't want you to pick it yet because the roots are, all the energy of the tree's being focused on the roots so that those can go deeper so that the fruit can actually become better. And so in this season, I feel like he's saying, pray for more than just wisdom, because there's other fruit I want to put on that tree. So use what you have now, the gifts that he's given you and the fruit that he's had in this season, and use that. And when the fruit's ready to be picked, the wisdom and whatever else is growing on it, you'll know in the right season, it'll be perfect timing.
Can I get the rest of my team up? Please. We just want to say thank you to you guys. You let us come and do life with you week by week throughout the school year, and it's a tremendous opportunity. We get to learn a lot. We get to experience a lot, not just because of where Mountain Chapel and what Mountain Chapel means historically, but actually even more so who Mountain Chapel is today, you guys, and where you're going. These guys get to be a part of Bethel, but most of them are going to be going somewhere different. And so trying to work out, what does revival look like in a different setting? What does leadership look like? What does community look like? And getting to come here and see it week by week is just tremendous. It's such a blessing to all of us. So we wanted to say thank you. One of the things we wanted to be able to do was actually to say, if you didn't get a prophetic word, these guys are going to become ministry team. We wanted to give your team a week off and just go, you know what? We want to bless you. We want to pour into you as a part of saying thank you. So if you want a prophetic word and you didn't get one, have a look. There's a lot of them. You can even be selective. They don't mind. They get to experience that week by week. So, but they would love to give you a word. They'd love to pray for you if you need healing, if you just want prayer, if there's a situation, something you're going after and you want someone to partner with you. They'd love to be able to do that. So why don't we stand up together? God, we just thank you. We thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you that you are not far removed, that you are right here. We thank you that you invite us into a place of knowing you even more. Thank you that your voice is so available, so easy to hear. And God, we thank you for your desire to move each one of us according to our story, according to what you want to do in us. So God, may we know your presence, may we know your nearness. May we practice grace throughout the week. May we honor you, may we bless you. We ask in your wonderful name. Amen.